depending on the Lord, yet one more time. He's always been faithful. Expect him to remain that this morning. Already been blessed and encouraged by being in the service. Really touched by the, first of all, it started with Sunday school lesson, talking about the Spirit-filled church and recognizing how much we need the leadings of the Lord in everything that we do, and especially, most importantly, in our services, and encouraged by the young people and them saw just one after another. Just thank the Lord. Already been encouraged just with that, and then the children and the verses, just such a blessing and encouragement to us. Almost could have just dismissed and been done with it. But thank the Lord. I again desire your prayers this morning. As the song says, have a message from the Lord. Desire that it would be presented in the way that he would have it to be presented, and they would accomplish the purpose that he would have it to accomplish. The thought this morning is at thy word. Just thinking about, just in a natural sense, and in the world that we live in today, I could be mistaken, but I think you would probably agree with me that it seems like it's a little different maybe than it used to be. When someone used to give their word on things in times past, it seemed like it meant a little more then than it does now. I think back to growing up, and there was a vernacular that was used when I was growing up, and it was called word is bond. You may remember that, those that are in similar age group that I am. So in other words, it meant that I got your back. I'm with you. If I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to stand behind it. You know, and all that entails. And, you know, I'm thinking about this even as a parent sometimes. I believe that I try to be careful when I say that I'm going to do something to ensure that it's something, that my word has some meaning to it. It has some value, that I don't just say I'm going to do something and then later have to back up and say I'm not going to be. I find myself saying, well, That's the plan, or Lord willing, and if things work that way, that's what's going to take place. But I try to be careful when I give my word that I ensure that it's something that I can stand behind. Yes. And I'm sure all of us have had experiences and just different situations just in life that we've had someone say, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that, and then they don't come through with it. And it's a disappointment to you. And what it does when situations like that take place, what it causes us to do is look inward and say, I want to make sure that I'm not one of those individuals. Yes. That when I say that I'm going to do something, that I do it. Yes. Another example, just again, things that we're familiar with in our world today. A lot of times when those that are running for office, they will tell you and say, they'll make promises and say, if you elect me, this is what I'm going to do. These policies, I'm going to implement this, or these changes, I'm going to make these things happen. Just the vote for me, and it's going to happen. You know, what you find is, it's time. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they're able to push through those agendas that they promised. And there are also times when they're not able to do it. You know, there's some powerful people in the world today. You know, you think about one of the most, if you could consider it, the most powerful positions in our nation is being president, right? And you know that the president has power to pardon. They can give their word and be able to pardon. I'm just going to read. So they is what's written in our Constitution. The president's power to pardon. It says the president shall have power to grant reprieves and pardons for offenses against the United States, except for cases of impeachment. So in other words, if there's someone that is behind bars for some offense that they committed, you know, and when usually, generally speak, when someone is behind bars, they've gone through a trial process, right? They've gone through our court system, and they've been tried, and they've been found guilty. But the president has the power to be able to say, I'm going to pardon you. The sentence that you're serving, you don't have to serve it anymore. So there's some, so at their word, right, when they speak that, there's no process that takes place. As far as I understand, they're released. Yeah. And they're free. Yeah. That's pretty powerful, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, there's also state governments have a similar authority to grant clemency. It's a similar power just within their own states. But you know, there's one that's greater and mightier and more powerful than all of that. You know, there's something that far exceeds any power that mankind can have in our world today. And that's the Word of God.
Yes.
God's Word has power. I want to go to my text scripture, and I want to bring that out just so you know where the thought is coming from. But then I'm going to come back and lay the foundation for the thought. So I'd like to begin in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter and the 36th verse. 1 Kings 18, 36.
And it came to pass at the time of the offering
of the evening sacrifice
that Elijah the prophet came near
and said, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel,
let it be known
this day
that thou art God in Israel.
That I am thy servant,
and that I have done all these things
at thy word. We're going to get into what all those things that took place, but I wanted to bring the thought at thy word.
Yes.
So I'm going now to lay the foundation when we think about the Word of God. What about it? You want to say, well, where did it come from? You know, where did it start? Well, it started at the beginning. It was there from the beginning. It's not something that, you know, and it's something was made mention to this morning in Sunday school that really was, it kind of goes along with this thought. It mentioned about if God gave us all of our trials all at the same time, we would be overwhelmed. Right? If our trial for our entire life, we know the process of getting to heaven, we go through different trials and tests and we get stronger and we go on and on. But if we was given all at once, we wouldn't be able to handle it. Think about how God's word was given to us. How he inspired different ones to write it, and how now we have it all, but how it was all presented. It was brought, you know, pieces at a time. That's how it was brought forth. But you know, the point being, it was there. All of it was at the beginning.
Yeah, that's true.
It says in John, the first chapter. Let's read that. This is a familiar text of scripture that all of us are familiar with. John 1 and 1 through verse 3.
In the beginning was the Word.
In the beginning was the Word.
And the Word was with God.
The Word was with God.
And
the Word was God.
The same was in the beginning with God.
All things were made by Him.
And without Him
was not anything made that was made. In the beginning was the Word. It was there from the beginning. From the beginning of time, the Word was already there. It's just how God presented it to us. Right? The Amplified says, it says, in the beginning, meaning before time, was the Word. Christ, the Word was with God, and the Word was God Himself. All God, it was all encompassed in Almighty God. The Word of God from the beginning of time. When you think about that, from the beginning, it's from the start. Right? It's not in the middle. It's not at the end. It's from the initial start. So when we think back, it's not when God spoke. The Word was then. All of it. It was here. In the beginning was the Word. It was from the time something, it's from the definition of from the beginning is from the time something was established. At the point in which something begins.
Yes.
There's a song that we sing that says, by what? By the Word of God, what happened?
The world.
The worlds were made, and what else? They're held in place by His command. The grass, what? It withers, and the flowers fade, but His truth forever stands. His Word, from the beginning. He expressed it, and is still so today. So, it was established then, and it goes all the way back to the beginning.
Yes, Lord.
So, when we say, at thy word, this is something that started at the creation of the world. So, what does his word mean for us? Let's go to another scripture. These, again, are scriptures that are laying out his word and giving putting the power behind it. It was here from the beginning. So we can note that as the first one, from the beginning. Let's go to another verse. Isaiah 55 and 11.
So shall my word be.
That goeth forth out of my mouth.
It shall not return unto me void.
It shall not return unto me void. But shall accomplish that which I please.
And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it.
And it will prosper where into the thing I send it. His word, so it's from the beginning, and here the scripture is iterating, is something that is going to go forth out of his mouth and is not going to return void.
Right.
So the word that he gave to all those that wrote in this book and the words that he spoke, that he gave to us, this scripture is letting us know that it's not going to return void. It's going to accomplish the purpose that he would have it to accomplish. And not only that, it's going to have the effect, that the desired effect that God wants it to have, and it's going to accomplish the divine purpose that he wants it to accomplish. And in that, it's going to succeed and it's going to flourish. So we can say it was from the beginning and it's going to prosper. His word is going to prosper.
Yes.
All right. Let's go to another verse. Deuteronomy 32 and 4.
He is the rock.
He is the rock.
His work is perfect.
His work is perfect.
For all his ways are judgment.
All his ways are judgment.
A
God of truth without iniquity.
Just and right is he.
Just and right is he.
Amen.
So this is again some more qualifications of his word.
Yeah.
Take note, it says that his work is perfect.
Yeah.
When something is perfect, it can't be any better.
That's true.
You can't make any improvements on it. It's the best it can be.
Yeah.
So his work and his word is perfect.
Yeah.
There's nothing that I can add to it that can make it any better.
Yeah.
And by trying to take something away from it, then I'm defiling it.
Right.
So it's perfect.
Yeah.
And his ways are judgment. He's a God of truth. And another verse that says he's a God that cannot lie. When someone is of truth, there's no falsity. There's it's only truth in them.
Yeah.
If it's of truth, that's all there is, right?
Yeah.
So he's a God of truth without iniquity.
Yeah.
There's no error in him, right? Just and right he is.
Yeah.
The writer says this: his work is perfect, that of redemption and salvation, in which there is a display of all the divine perfection complete in all parts. Again, that was something that was mentioned this morning in Sunday school, how God, everything he does is perfect.
That's right.
Think about the plan of salvation that he laid out for all of us. It's perfect.
Yeah.
In everything that he set up for you and I to be able to have a relationship with him, there's nothing that you can add to it to make it any better.
Right.
Everything that he's put into place,
yeah,
is perfect. All God's dealings with his creation, with his creatures, are regulated by wisdom, which cannot err,
yeah,
and perfect justice.
Yeah.
He is indeed just and right. So, if we could say then, his word is perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, you can add some other adjectives to these, but you understand what I'm making. I'm establishing the foundation of his word. Because,
yeah,
now we're going to go to this story and why, how, at thy word, something happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're going to go back to Kings, but I just want to set up the context, and we're not reading all of it for the sake of time, but essentially there was a point in time where the Israelites had a little bit of confusion. Do you let me say it that way? And there was some that they was confused about who they should serve and who they should worship. There was the true God, so he reproved the people for mixing the worship of God and the worship of Baal together. Right? Some of them worship God, and some of them worship Baal. And they did this, and then some of them worship both. They sometimes they worship one, and then sometimes they worship the other. You know, and there he was saying, okay, something's not right about this. There's a halting. Why halt ye between two opinions? Why are you stuck in this situation? You're doing one thing one day, and another day you're doing something else. There's a problem here, and this has to be fixed. You know, some of them, it says that they worship God to please the prophets, but they worship Baal to please Jezebel and to have favor in the court. So they played on both sides. And Elijah's like, something's wrong. There's only one God. And we're going to have to bring something to pass that's going to let everybody know who the one true God is.
Right.
He was in tune with God, wasn't he?
Yes.
We know he was, because in some of the stories before this, you can read about that in Kings and look at how God was with him and how he blessed him.
Yes.
Yeah, how he needed some food to eat and went to a widow.
Yes.
You can read about it.
Yes.
But he was a man of God. There can be but one God, one definite, one supreme, one omnipotent, all-sufficient, and we know that is God Almighty.
Yes.
So we're going to get into the context of this story, and I want us to, as we read through this is a very familiar story, but I want us to pay close attention to everything that takes place in this account. So let's go back to 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, and we'll begin reading at the 25th verse. So 1 Kings 18, and we'll begin reading at verse 25. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal. So, in other words, we laid the context. Some worshiping God, some worshiping Baal. So he's like, okay, we're going to bring this to naught. We got the prophets of Baal, and we got Elijah was a prophet of God. So he said, okay, this is what's going to happen. So Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many. There was 450 prophets of Baal, and there was one prophet of God. And he said, you're going to dress it, and you're going to call on the name of your gods, but you can't put any fire under it. Uh-huh. Right? So you're going to dress this offering, you're going to put it on the altar, but you can't light it. You got to pray to Baal, and let's see what's going to happen. So in verse 26, it says, they took the bullock, which was given them, and they dressed it. And they called on the name of Baal from the morning until noon. So for several hours, they called upon Baal, saying, oh, Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. So then they started to have to try to manufacture something. So what did they do here? It says they leaped upon the altar which was made. So they are wondering, they're calling on Baal, and they say, what's going on here? These folks have been worshiping Baal. They're calling on Baal, and nothing's happening. So they're jumping. I'm just kind of use your imagination. They're jumping up and down on the offering, trying to manufacture something, but nothing happens. Elijah was a man of God.
Yeah.
And he knew who the true God was.
Yeah.
And, you know, in this situation, this is what he did. It says in the 27th verse that it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. And he said, cry loud. He said, you're not crying loud enough. You're not calling loud enough. Where's your God at? Y'all need to cry a little louder because nothing's happening. He said, cry aloud. What's going on with him? For is he a god? Either is he talking? Is he busy? Where's he at? Or is he pursuing? Or is he in a journey? Or peradventure, he's sleeping. Oh, he must be asleep. So y'all not crying loud enough because you got to wake him up. So what did they do? They cried louder. Yeah. Well, I mean, what else was it? They're trying to get the Baal's attention. So they cried louder, it says, in the 28th verse. And not only that, it says they cut themselves after their manner with knives and lassets, till blood gushed out upon them. So they're doing everything that they possibly can to try to get Baal's attention. And it came to pass, it says in verse 28, when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that there was neither voice nor an answer, nor any that regarded. So nothing happens. Despite everything that they did, we know it was a false god.
Yes.
Right? Nothing. Everything that they tried didn't work. Now it's time for the prophet of God, Almighty God. So in the 30th verse it says, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near. I want to make sure that you pay close attention at everything that's going to take place. Get up close so you can see what's going on. come near. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. So he had to kind of, after they were jumping all on it, and he had to kind of fix it back up now, because they had broken it. And he took 12 stones, according to the number in verse 31, of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and he cut the bullock in pieces, and laid it on the wood. And then he said, fill 4 barrels of water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Brother Woody made mention of something earlier. He said, if you weren't inspired and encouraged and uplifted by the young people and the young children's Sunday school lesson, he said, your wood must be wet.
That's right.
But you know, there's still hope.
Yes.
Thank the Lord. If the wood is wet, because God can do something about it.
Yes.
At his word. Because in this situation, he poured water all over the offering. I mean, many have tried, no doubt, maybe at times to try to start a fire. If something is wet, it is not going to start. You need dry brush or wood or something that's going to create a spark. If it's wet, it's not going to work. It'll extinguish the flame every single time. So we got a trench above the altar, and now we have barrels of water poured all over the sacrifice and all over the wood that's surrounding it. So it's saturated with water. 4 barrels, I mean, I don't know, some big jugs of water. That's a lot of water. And maybe, if you allow me to take some liberties, maybe there were some 5-gallon buckets. So you imagine 4 of them that they poured all over this sacrifice. And it says, 4 barrels of water poured it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And the 34th verse. And he said, do it a second time?
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to remove all doubt here.
Right.
So bring 4 more barrels and do it again. Saturate it even more. And they did it the second time. Don't y'all think that probably would have been enough? It's significantly wet enough for everyone that's looking on to see this. There is no doubt, maybe some were thinking in their mind, how in the world? How in the world is this going to, how is this going to light up?
Yeah.
It's saturated.
Right.
But he said, do it a third time. So we're talking about now, we're 12 barrels of water. And they did it a third time. And the water ran, in the 35th verse, around the altar, and it filled the trench also with water. So now you have this sacrifice that's up on the altar with the stones and the wood, which is saturated with water. And now there's water surrounding it all the way around. Do y'all understand the picture that's taking place here?
Yes.
And then at the 36th verse, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things according to thy word.
Amen.
According to thy word, God gave him instructions of to exactly what to do. And he followed them to the T. At thy word. Hear, it says in the 37th verse. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Amen. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. At thy word, God set the fire down and it burnt everything up and licked up all the water. You know, most of the time with water, when there's water has been somewhere, there's a residual. There's a little bit of moisture or mud. There's something left over. But it licked it all up, and even the dust. And licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God.
Amen.
This is the process. One writer, this is the process of this sacrifice. The fire came down from heaven. The pieces of the sacrifice were first consumed. Then the wood. Then the wood was consumed. Even by means of wood, it was all burned. The 12 stones were consumed. So this was not any kind of regular fire.
Right.
You consuming stones?
Yeah.
At thy word.
Yeah.
Consume stones? I mean, most of the time when you're building a fire, you put it in a stone pit, right? You would expect the fire to burn up the stones. But God is perfect. His word is perfect.
Yes.
It burned up the stones. The dust, the earth which the altar was constructed, was burned up.
Yes.
The water that was in the trench was by the action of a fire entirely evaporated. And think about this. Which way does fire go? We got firemen, some fire, right? Does it go up or does it go down? It goes up, right? This fire came down. It came down and burned all this up. You know the difference between the two? The word of God was behind the one.
Yeah.
At thy word.
Yeah.
Right? There was something backing it.
Yeah.
There's no comparison to the power and obedience to the word and the spirit of God.
Amen.
The writer said, if the Bible be the world of God, let us reverence and reference the whole of it and submit our understanding to the divine teaching it contains. A few words uttered in assured faith and with fervent affection for the glory of God and the love of the souls of man, thirsting after the Lord's image and his favor and form. That's the effectual fervent prayer, right? Of the righteous man, the word says, availeth much. You know, in all of this, Elijah was not concerned about bringing glory to himself. He was trying to establish the one true God. And it was all about God. It had nothing to do with him. At thy word. So I have some questions this morning. What does his word say? Y'all have favorite scriptures that I want to share? What's your favorite scripture? Anybody have any? Why do you have favorite scriptures? Why do you have scriptures that you memorize and quote from time to time? They work. What's some of them? Somebody give me a scripture. God is our refuge and strength. Very present help in trouble. At thy word, brother. When you need some strength and help, call on the name of the Lord. Call on his word. Lord, according to your word, be it unto me. What else? Somebody had another one.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart
and lean not to thy own understanding. You're going through some difficult times. You don't know what to do. Lord, at thy word, you said if I trust in you with my whole heart, will he do it? We talked about his word was from the beginning. It's not going to return unto him void. It's going to prosper and it's perfect. Any other ones?
The eternal God is thy refuge
and what?
Underneath
is his everlasting arms. You're in a situation where you need some strength and help from the Lord. You need him to lift you up and carry you through.
Yeah.
At thy word.
Thy
word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my... I don't know which direction to go, Lord. At your word, would you lead me and guide me in the way that I should go?
Yes, Lord.
My encouragement to you, search it out.
Yeah.
See what's in here.
Yes.
It's available for you and it's available for me.
That's right.
That I can say, Lord, at your word, this is what you told me.
Yes.
I'm standing on it and claiming it in the name of Jesus. Each of us going through different things.
Yes.
But you know what? We can all say, at thy word.
Yeah.
At thy word. Lord, these are the promises that you gave me.
Yes.
At your word, Lord, I'm standing on them. Whatever our current need, whatever our current desire might be, at thy word.
Yes.
Well, that was back in that time, you could say. That was then. This is now. This is 2024. What's that scripture in Hebrews 13 and 8? What's that say?
Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever.
Jesus Christ the same yesterday, right? So we could call that yesterday. When Elijah called upon God, we call that yesterday. It was many yesterdays, but the God then, he's the same when?
Today.
And forever.
Amen.
I mean, did that delete it? I think that covers everything, right? That covers not only what I'm dealing with now, it covers what I'm going to deal with in the future.
Right.
That I can say, at thy word.
That's right.
Yeah.
At thy word, things happen. You can look at many more examples that we find in his word. But whatever our situation, whatever our circumstance, whatever the mountains that might be before us,
yes,
it doesn't matter what it is. Because you know what we have the privilege? We can speak the word of God.
Yes.
We can say, at thy word, and then God can work and God can move.
Yes.
I want us to be encouraged this morning. Mm-hmm. You know, I need to remember this.
Yes.
Lord, as I go through the trials and the tests of life, day by day, that I can remember at your word, Lord. At your word, and realize and remember everything that's available to me. That's the beauty of, you know, it's memorizing scriptures and having, you know, maybe some close to your vest. That's the importance of them. Because when you're going through different things, God can bring those things to your mind.
Yes.
And then we can say, Lord, at your word,
yes,
you said this would be so.
Yes.
And I'm standing on it and trusting in you, knowing that you'll be faithful.
Amen.
And knowing that you are God that cannot lie.
Yes.
Be encouraged this morning, saints.
Amen.
At thy word, things happen. I appreciate your time and your attention this morning.